The reading today is taken from 1 Corinthians, and it can be found on page 1136 in your church Bibles. And it's taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll read verses 1 to 27. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, "Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not, for that reason, cease being part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not, for that reason, cease being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If we were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." And the head cannot say to the foot, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the bodies that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Eric, and it's great to be at church with you. Isn't it nice when things just work? You may well drive one of those Honda Accords and can testify, as that ad says, things just work. There are no problems, no questions, no obstacles, no failures. Things just work. Or you maybe have worked in a business or a team where things just worked. People got on. There were no hurdles, no egos, but rather the team just worked and achieved stratospheric results. Or maybe you played in a sporting team, not like the Wallabies, where every member of the team did their job and played their part, and together you annihilated anyone who came to oppose you. Isn't it nice when things just work? I want you to take a moment to think about this church. Actually, take a moment to think about every church you've ever been part of. Has it ever been like that? Have things just worked? Were they like that Honda Accord? Every cog, every nut, every spring playing its perfect part, Every component, every dial, every wire playing its role, together in perfect harmony, working to produce stratospheric results. Now, I've been part of 8 churches in my life. Let me just say, there are parts where, yeah, some parts of those churches were brilliant. Amazing. But tell you what, each as a whole, it's nothing like that. Wouldn't it be nice if churches just worked? And we must be wondering why that's not possible. Why doesn't it happen in the churches we're part of? Well, hold that thought just for a moment, because we're in the middle of our series, the Vital Signs series. It's a series laying out what it would look like for each of us and look like for our church to be spiritually healthy. A little while ago, the paper reported of a German woman in her 80s who found out that her pension payments had been stopped. So when she rang to inquire, she was told that, according to their records, she had died back in January. So she was told she needed to bring a life certificate to prove that she was alive. I would have thought just by showing up, that would have been enough. But that's what they wanted her to do. Now, it's a terrible thing what they made her do. And I'll quickly shame you to make an apology and starting those payments again. However, I think it's a good thing for us as a local church to have, especially here at St. Paul's Castle Hill. Could we produce a life certificate that proved that we were alive spiritually? And that's why we're midway through this series, The Vital Signs. We're equipping this church with objective diagnostics to see how spiritually healthy we are. So we're continuing our series, and today we're looking at Saved People Serve. In one sense, it's a really easy topic. It's a simple topic. It would have been easy just to tell you that if you want to be a healthy follower of Jesus, then you simply need to serve the church. And whatever you need to do, just do it happily and just do it. I can give you a list of jobs that need to be done. You can tick the boxes and things would just work. But you know that's not the way it is. That's not the way things work around here. Because a church is very different to a local club. It's very different to a business. It's very different to a sporting team. It requires a different treatment than simply dishing out jobs. So my plan this morning is to first look at why, as saved people, we served, and then look at how we serve as saved people. And by getting some of these basic Bible principles right, then maybe, just maybe, St. Paul's Castle Hill, here, things might just work. So why do we serve? Why do we serve? The simple answer is we serve because we're the body of Christ. If you open up at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 12 it says, Paul writes, "The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all the parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized in one spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one spirit to drink." And this builds on what Paul was writing earlier on in verse 3. "Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." You see, humanity is split into two groups. It's those who have the Holy Spirit, those who proclaim Jesus as Lord, and then you have those who do not have the Holy Spirit and cannot proclaim Jesus as Lord. But the Bible is clear. If you believe in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. And that same Spirit unites all who believe, so much so that we believers in Christ who have the Holy Spirit are united to become one body, Christ's body. And it's often tempting for us Christians to think of our salvation in individualistic and isolationistic terms. We say things like, "God loved me so much that he sent his son to die for me. And when he died for me, he washed me clean of my sins and brought me forgiveness and rose again for me. And then he gives me his Holy Spirit to make me holy." And that is true theologically, but it's missing the point of our salvation. God didn't just save me for me. God saved all of us
for his son, Jesus Christ, to build Jesus' body and ultimately bring Jesus glory. It's incredible to think that our salvation delivers us into a much grander, greater purpose than we could ever imagine of. Because now we are connected. We are joined together. In fact, we're united with Jesus Christ, together with all believers, regardless of race or sex or class or culture or even time. We all become the one body of Christ, and it's truly the most incredible picture. And this is something grander and greater than any human organization could ever achieve. As Christians, we're united by the Holy Spirit, and we become a super organism of the body of Christ. Now, for years, scientists have been baffled about how fire ants survive. There's a picture of fire ants. You see, fire ants individually, if you dropped one in the water, it will flounder, struggle, and eventually drown. But when they band together, when they connect up with each other, they form life rafts. As a super organism, they can basically band together and float for literally months through the Brazilian rainforest and survive on the other end when the waters recede. As a super organism, a unified body, they can bridge chasms. As a unified super organism, they can achieve incredible results, much more than they can do by themselves. So why do we serve? Because we are the body of Christ. We are saved to be Christ's body. That is what we are. And as in our human body, each part has a function. If you look at verse 18, but in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. We all have our function in the body as God has arranged. Now, one reason I will continue to love rugby, despite how woeful the Wallabies can get, is because I love the fact that in rugby union, every single player has a specific position and a specific role to play. And the coach and the captain, their job is to somehow complement each of those players so that they can play together as a unified team in order to win the game. So, for example, the short, stocky guys, they're the props. They're the guys who push the scrum and drop the ball a lot. Then you have the halfback who directs the slow and cumbersome forwards. And when the forwards can't do any more, you pass them to the backs, who's in Australia, drop the ball again. Then you have the wingers who just run really fast and don't do much besides that. Each player is no player is interchangeable. Every player has a specific role, and when one of them gets injured or taken out of the game, the team is much, much weaker. So it is with the church. We're the body of Christ. We each have a role to play in it. But you know what's more amazing? What's reassuring for all of us is that even though we're part of the body, it still belongs to Christ. He doesn't just give us a role and say, run along, have fun. His Spirit has gifted us for service because we are participating in Christ's body. Verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, and so on. Verse 11, all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Now there are lots of gifts given by the Holy Spirit, and this list is not exhaustive. And even when you add other lists from the New Testament, like that from Romans chapter 12, it's striking when you look through that list of how unspectacular many of these gifts are. When I look through this list, especially Romans 12, I can't think of anyone in this room who doesn't have at least one or a handful of these gifts. So the great thing is that any one of us, every one of us, can serve the Lord any hour of any day. And each believer has a gift or many gifts by the same Holy Spirit. And if every believer is gifted, can I just say, we don't need a bishop or a minister to ordain you to use that gift. You don't need to sign up on the back counter to say, I plan to use the gift the Holy Spirit's given to me. Because you have already been gifted and you are already qualified to use that gift of the Holy Spirit. And we look again at verse 7. It says we're gifted for a purpose. Spiritual gifts are given for the common good. But what's a common good? I'm going to bring up Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It was Christ who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We will in all things grow up into him who is ahead, that is Christ. From him the whole body grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As saved people we serve. And we serve by doing our part to build up the body of Christ. Notice in verse 16 up there, that goal of the body growing up into our head happens as each part does its work. This shows that we're completely dependent upon each other. And when we come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 14, now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, then where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, then where would the sense of smell be? Every part does its work. Now, in January this year, I started doing Muay Thai kickboxing. Now, if you don't know what kickboxing is, it's basically, think of normal boxing, but you're allowed to use your knees, your shins, and your elbows, and pretty much anything you can get your hands on to knock the other guy out. Actually, we're not. Where's Lorraine's there? She's seen me do it. When I turn up at the gym, and it still happens, every single person laughs. They go, no, you're not a church minister. Yeah, I am. I'm a church minister. That's why I'm a level zero. Actually, my little boys watch me in my training or in my class, and basically, they're my little cheer squad. And a week ago, I was training against a guy who's 12 years younger than me. And so I'm nearly 40, a guy 12 years younger than me, he's running around and I'm just trying to lay a punch on him. But I managed to hook him to the head and my boys jumped up in the air as if I knocked out Muhammad Ali. But 6 months ago, I thought I was fit. I really did. But tell you what, just to survive the warm-up, it's taken me 6 months. The warm-up is 10 minutes work. It's 3 minutes skipping, which doesn't sound like lots, but it is. It's 20 push-ups straight after that, then 100 knees to the bag, and then 50 sit-ups, and then 50 sit-ups to the left, and then 50 sit-ups to the right. That's 150 sit-ups in one go. It's taken me 6 months to survive that. And let me tell you, over those 6 months, I found muscles that I never knew existed. But the simple thing is I've learned is that every single part of my body has to be working properly for me to survive. So it is with our church. Every single part must do its job. Now, you may not be getting into the ring to fight someone, but I know some of you have had teenage daughters. But we know the principle is true in our life, in our bodies. When one part stops working correctly, the other parts have to work harder to cover for it. And when that part works harder, after a while, it works too hard, it wears out and fails. And so the problems go on. Let me give you an example. If my right toe is broken, my left leg has to work harder to compensate as I walk. And when my left leg works harder, so do my knees. And when my left knee works harder, so does my hip. And when my hip works harder, so does my back. Does this sound familiar to some of you guys? Okay. Each of us is part of, we're part of Christ's body. We all have a part to play. And if anyone decides not to serve in their bit, another part must cover to compensate. Let's keep thinking about the human body and wind the clock forward a couple of years. Let's assume my right toe never gains full functionality. It's just a little bit stiff all the time. That means that my left leg will always have to work harder. Let's roll the clock forward a few years. Because my left leg works harder, my knee wears out. Let's roll the clock forward a few more years. Because my knee wears out, my hip works harder and wears out. So it is with the body of Christ. Do you know, around this church, our ballpark figures are about 400 people serve in this church to make it work week in and week out. Around about 400 to 500. Some of those guys do multiple roles. They serve for hours and hours a week and do different things throughout the week. There are 1,200 or so people who come to this church on a Sunday, and thousands more on the roll who come irregularly. If you roll the clock forward just a couple of years, of those 400, 500 who work doubly hard to keep this body going, they're compensating pretty hard for, and they will wear out. So why do we serve? Because each of us are part of Christ's body. And we all have a part to play, so please play your part, because saved people serve. But you might ask, how do we serve? Well, that's an extremely good question. We're not discussing a human organization, we're discussing the body of Christ. And the apostles devoted a huge amount of effort to teach God's people how we're to serve. So I want to give you just three brief summary points of what the apostles talked about in the Bible. How do we serve? Well, firstly, we serve with God's power. Oh, by the way, that's blurry because I'm just so fast. Anyway, verse 4 to 6 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. We serve with God's power. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. So not only do all the abilities to serve come from God, but the work in verse 6, literally the activities and the effects of such activities, are all God's doing. They're all God's power. When we work to serve in Christ's body, God himself is working through us. And it's reassuring for us to know this, because it's not left to our own individual abilities or effort to achieve God's purposes, because God has gifted us and is working in us through his gifting by his power to achieve his purposes. The second thing is this, our service is to be Christ-centered. As we've just read from verse 5, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Our goal is to build the body of Christ, so this helps us streamline the kind of serving we're to do. We need to make sure that our serving builds Christ's body. That's why in my own area of evangelism, we had May Mission Month in May, because we want to preach the gospel to people who don't know Jesus so they can believe in him, be converted, and join the kingdom, join the body, so the body is built. That's why we send missionaries to the far corners of the earth, because we want to make sure that the kingdom and the body grows, the Christ body grows, because people are saved. That's why we sponsor hundreds and hundreds, 500 nearly, compassion children. Because we want to see them and their families join Christ's body. If it doesn't intentionally build Christ's body, I'm not interested. And we don't do it. It's why we run crewmen and sisterhood conferences. It's why we run prime time. It's why we run the marriage course. It's why the young adults run the big thing this week. Because we intentionally are building Christ's kingdom. But whilst being Christ-centered unites us in our purpose and gives us proper focus, it also broadens our view of how we can serve. Yes, there are specific areas that we'd love you to serve in, but at the same time, there are limitless opportunities to do so. So long as you're united in serving the body of Christ to build it. So I'm always tempted to give you a big, long list of all the things we'd love you to be doing. But I decided against that because I don't want to limit you. I'd hate to clip your wings with an arbitrary list of good things you could be doing. You've already been gifted and you're already qualified to use that gift to serve the body of Christ. And with the whole earth as your canvas, seek out an area where God can use you to paint a masterpiece. So I want to encourage you to seek out areas that require help. So how do you do that? Well, put Christ-centered glasses on. Look around this body of Christ and see how we can serve to build it up. Speak with people who run ministries. Speak with other people who are doing service. Encourage them and see if they need help. 10 o'clock is probably about one third of the whole of St. Paul's Castle Hill. That's maybe 25 to 35% of the whole of Castle Hill, St. Paul's Castle Hill. That means that 65 to 75% of the whole body of Christ here is probably not being connected with you. May I suggest that you pull out your diaries when you see the church calendar in City of Light next? Or when that talking head starts speaking each week about the different events coming up in church news, pull out your diary and take note. Take an interest. And you've got to do this because you won't know what ministries need prayer or help if you've never heard about them. And you can only serve and build the body of Christ if you're there. And by just being there, you're serving by supporting and encouraging those who put the events on. Now, this is kind of one of the key things we try to do in the mission area. When we prepare people to go to Kenya, the biggest mind shift is getting our people to realize that when we go and sit in a mud house in the midst of a filthy slum on the other side of the planet, just to listen and to pray, you're bringing to that household untold support and love and encouragement just by being there. What a way to serve. Just by being there. Now, if we spend $5,000 a person sending a person to go to Nairobi and back, just to do that, that's nearly $100,000 in this current group has been spent to take these guys to go and sit and encourage and build up the body of Christ in Kenya. Why can't we do it here? With the people and ministries who share this building with us, who share your seats throughout the day. How to serve? Well, take an interest in the body of Christ and participate. And this leads us to the third reason, a third characteristic. Our service is to be characterized by love. Paul continues in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love characterizes the way we're to serve in the body of Christ. Loving the other parts, championing their causes and their ministry, even if it may not personally interest you all that much. Praying for and working for their win. Because from verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Saved people serve, because we're the body of Christ. Saved people serve by participating and doing our role in that body. And saved people served in a way that's characterized by love. Wouldn't it be great if our church, this church, if things here just worked?